This is The Sweet Spot, a show about the week's biggest sports stories in Arizona. I'm Spencer Chihok. It's a season of new beginnings for ASU football, with new Sun Devil head coach Kenny Dillingham's first spring practice beginning last week. There are plenty of new faces, not only in the coaching staff, but on the field as well. Harris Hicks has more on the matter.
22 transfers were acquired for Kenny Dillingham this offseason, the second most in the FBS. But among them, there are two that clearly stand out. FCS All-Americans Cameron Scadabo and Xavier Guillory were busy breaking records last season. But now at ASU, Kenny Dillingham is more than pumped to see what these two can bring to the table.
Yeah, they're hungry now. Like those guys, they come here and they've eaten our meal room. They're like, holy cow. Right. And they show up every day and they're like, oh my gosh, they have all my gear laid out for me. It's one of those deals that they're so humbled by where they've been. And on top of that, they're talented. That those guys come up and get extra work more than anybody just because they're happy and blessed to be here. They understand the privilege it is to be here at Arizona State.
In terms of Xavier Guillory, he's already raising eyebrows in the wide receiver room, including one of Arizona State's returning starting wide receivers, Geo Sanders.
Yeah, he's been balling lately. You know, he got a lot of top-end speed. You know, every time he runs a route, that's what I think about. I think, dang, he can move fast. But on top of that, he's strong. He can move people off his spot with his releases. But I think he's a really good receiver. I like what I've seen from him so far.
The spring game hasn't even happened yet. And, folks, these two are already creating headlines. For Cronkite Sports, this is Harris Hicks.
From the field to the hardwood. Earlier this week, Sham Sharania announced that the newest Phoenix Sun, Kevin Durant, is returning at the end of March after suffering an ankle sprain in warmups against the Oklahoma City Thunder in late February. Cronkite Sports' Harris Hicks talked to AZ Family's Mark McClune on what the Sun's future looks like when KD takes the court.
Since Kevin Durant suffered an ankle sprain a couple weeks ago, the Phoenix Suns are 2-4. But with Kevin Durant officially reported to come back around late March, it's about time we start thinking about what the Suns' expectations should be. Cronkite Sports' Spencer Chihok, Sam Eddy, and I sat down with Arizona Family's Mark McClune at Radio Row. This interview was recorded the day after the Kevin Durant trade.
And welcome back to Cronkite News here. I'm Harris Hicks, joined with Spencer Chihok and Sam Eddy. And folks, we have a special guest, Mr. Mark McClune. Thank you so much for joining us.
I thought you were talking about fake Andy Reid. I thought he was the special guest. This is so cool. Radio Row. And what a cool opportunity just for all of us. It's kind of like you don't have a lot of instances like this where it's like a convention in our business. And my head's on a swivel right now. This is cool. Thanks
for having me. It's like the Wild, Wild West out here, you know?
It is. But anyway, so a lot of Phoenix news happening, right? Obviously, Kevin Durant, the big trade. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my initial thought was, oh my gosh, it's 11:15 at night and we just wrapped up our 30-minute show and now I got to go back to the station. We did an emergency podcast on, when was that? What day is it? What time zone am I on? I think it was Wednesday. It's super fun. I mean, this is like what you dream about. You know, I was just like you guys at the University of Texas 20-something years ago, just wanting to do this for a living, and I constantly have to pinch myself and be like, this is my job.
Right.
You know, so we're talking Kevin Durant. We have a 30-minute show every night on Channel 3 at 10:35, The Extra Point, the Valley's only nightly local sports show. And yeah, my initial thought about Kevin Durant is plan the championship parade. I don't know how you're going to beat the Suns. Do you agree?
Got to stay healthy, I think, is the key, right?
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, you're right. Start planning the parade.
Now, were you thinking at the beginning of this week, with, you know, the Super Bowl here, waste management, big week, we'd be talking about the Phoenix Suns right now?
Well, okay, so I actually was fortunate enough to get Stephen A. Smith on our podcast this week, the Extra Point podcast, and
nice.
I asked him straight up, is KD coming to the desert? And he's like, you're going to have to give up a haul. He said he wouldn't do it. He thought they could build a championship team around Brooklyn. So, no. I mean, I thought last summer it was going to happen. And then Flex from Jersey, are you familiar with Flex from Jersey? He's the Suns insider on the postgame show. He's become a good friend of mine because I get him in trouble on social media. He said different things on our podcast. I mean, he straight up said they were hitting the pause button on this last summer. So in the back of my mind, I thought this might happen, but I really thought it might be this coming summer. I thought Brooklyn might try to win with just Durant. and maybe get Kyrie out of there and see if it would work. So, yeah, I was stunned walking. We were at the riser at the stadium, walking out of my car and thinking, wow, can anything else happen here?
Do you think this is the biggest sports week in Arizona history?
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, it's I've been here, been lucky enough to be here since 06. There's been some big weeks, but this is insane. And I really think we're going to look back at this and think about how much it grew the Valley, how much it grew Valley sports. There was a carryover effect from the 2015 Super Bowl that we felt, and it kind of gave – it just gave the Valley itself just a little more cachet nationally, and especially with Durant. Yeah, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, you look back and, yeah, why do a million more people now live in the Valley of the Sun? Well, it's because of this week.
True.
That's my last
all
question.
All right, I'm so sorry to cut you off, Mr. Eddie.
By the way,
a
Titans
apology.
Fan? Really? Yeah, really? I'm an Oilers fan. You took
really?
My team.
Oh, ooh. I know. I'm sorry. I can see you're still sensitive about it. Yeah. All right, well, that'll officially do it this time, hopefully. But thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank
us.
You.
Yeah,
and... thank you.
That'll do it.
With Kevin Durant slated to come back fully healthy, it's championship or bust for the Suns. For Cronkite Sports, this is Harris Hicks.
Off the court, the Phoenix Suns are continuing to champion the community with their latest charity endeavor. The Phoenix Suns donated a total of $275,000 in their latest funding cycle of the 2022-2023 NBA season. A total of 19 different nonprofits received a portion of the grant. The final $20,000 surprise was in support of Hope High School, a Title I charter school in South Phoenix. The Suns invited the school out to the Footprint Center for a shoot-around with Suns Center Bismack Biyombo before surprising them with the grant.
I think it was great to bring in these kids, put them in this type of environment. It's more important to allow them to dream as big as possible.
Hope High School student Enoch Amani reflected on the experience.
It's my first time seeing a stadium this big, so I'm excited because I know the money is going to the right places. I know that it's going to help the team out, it's going to help the school out, and I know that it's going to really help a lot of kids from outside of town.
Phoenix Suns Charities launched in 1988 and has distributed over $41 million in its 35-year history to local nonprofit organizations. In Phoenix, Spencer Chiok, Cronkite Sports. Arizona plays host to half of Major League Baseball's teams each year for spring training, but its beginnings start with a little roadside hotel in Mesa. Cronkite Sports' Jeff Finkel has more.
Nestled on the corner of Main Street and Wrecker Road in Mesa is a building that looks like any old, dilapidated building that has fallen into disrepair. The old white paint chipping off the walls, exposing the brick and adobe building underneath, a neon sign out front reading Buckhorn Baths Motel that doesn't work anymore, and huge amounts of scrub brush and overgrowth all over the property, from around the main lobby all the way back to the private cottages on the property. This building is one of the reasons why the Cactus League is what it is today. And as the spring training season wraps up, let's dive into the story of how this tiny roadside hotel came to be one of the founding pieces of the league. Ted and Alice Sliger bought a plot of land in 1936 between highways 60 and 70. It was their home, it was a gift shop, and oddly enough, it was a place for Ted to show off his huge taxidermy collection, which has since been donated to ASU. Then, after 3 years of having to haul fresh water between downtown Mesa and their property, the couple decided to dig a well and see if they could find water.
Ain't had no water since yesterday, Lord. Getting a little thirsty. Just thought I'd mention it. Amen.
What came next changed their lives. They found water. The only problem with it was that it was about 120 degrees and it was full of minerals. The water wasn't drinkable, but it had lots of healing benefits. And not long after the water was found, the hotel was built and a spa was built along with it. The early 1940s brought a lot of tourists and ailing soldiers from nearby military bases to the hotel. And then eventually, word got around to New York Giants owner Horace Stoneham about the Buckhorn. Stoneham found his way out to Mesa to visit the hotel, stayed at the Buckhorn, and got to know Ted and Alice very well. He would eventually move his team out to Arizona in 1947 and stay at the Buckhorn because of the hot springs, and he thought it would be a good place to take his players for treatment. According to Mesa Historical Museum President Vic Linoff, it was a little bit of needed rest and relaxation before the season.
They would go there and they would just play. Mm-hmm. They weren't in uniform. So the photographs you see, they're in Hawaiian shirts. They're running out in the desert. They're going hunting or fishing with Ted Slager.
Mesa Historical Museum Executive Director Susan Ritchie even added,
"We have photos of some of the ball players signing pictures to Alice, but it's not like they were the owners to them. It was like a family."
That is the beginning of a long history between the New York Giants and the Buckhorn Bats. The team would stay there for 25 years, which also included the Giants moving from New York to San Francisco. Slowly but surely, more and more teams started to come to Arizona. The Cubs, who had been training on Catalina Island off the coast of California, moved out to Arizona and started using the Buckhorn as their hotel as well. Then, with the addition of the Indians who came to Arizona to escape the radical Jim Crow laws in the South, and the Orioles' eventual move to Yuma, the Cactus League was born. But what lies ahead for that old dilapidated building that carries so much history and so many stories?
There's a term we use in preservation called demolition by neglect. You let it just stand there long enough, it'll fall down. That's kind of where it is.
Since the hotel closed in 2007, there have been many efforts to save the building. It's currently listed on the National Register of Historic Places, so it's protected for the time being. But according to Linoff, that's only a placeholder.
It's on the National Register of Historic Places. There's a belief that if you get that designation recognition, that your property is protected. It's not.
There have been plans for an apartment complex to develop part of the land, but to keep the main lobby intact and treat it as a museum, which would harken back to the heyday of the Buckhorn with countless pieces from the original hotel, along with a Cactus League exhibit to draw the attention of baseball fans in town to catch a ball game. Those plans have stalled, and now the fate of the hotels lies in a sort of limbo state. But if walls could talk, the Buckhorn would have a speech like no other from the things the old hotel has seen. And rumor has it that the pipes in the hotel still hold that mineral water Ted found when he was trying to find drinking water. From Cronkite Sports, I'm Jeff Hinkle.
San Francisco Giants pitcher Logan Webb became known for chugging 3 Red Bulls before a start during the 2021 postseason. Now he's expanding his palate and tasting several different flavors with Cronkite Sports reporters Caitlin Parahinog and Jackson Webster.
How's it going, everybody? My name's Jackson Webster, alongside my co-host,
Caitlin Parahinog.
And today we're joined by San Francisco Giants starting pitcher, Logan Webb. Logan, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Better now that I have Red Bulls in front of me.
That's great. So the reason that we're doing this is we've heard about your pregame routine. Can you walk us through your pregame routine?
I have a Red Bull right when I get to the field. I Red Bull 2 hours before and another Red Bull an hour before, all at the same time, every time. I think I've done that for 5, 6, maybe 7 years now.
Mm-hmm. How did that kind of start?
I think I just like caffeine, to be honest with you. It's kind of what we got around baseball, and that's what was given to me. It goes back to when I was younger. You know, my parents, every time we'd go to play a baseball game or something, we'd go get, you know, a Monster or Red Bull or Go Girls. I remember those. And just like, I've always loved energy drinks, and Red Bull's easily my favorite, so it was easy. It was easy to have that.
All right, well, without any further ado, I think we start off with coconut. And before we start, have you tried any of the other flavors other than original? And you said you did blueberry too?
I think the blueberry one I've tried. I'm not 100% sure, but the regular one is the one I go for most of the time.
Okay, all right, we'll start off with coconut here, so we'll hand these out. Here you go, Caitlin.
Thank you.
Here you go, Logan.
Thank you.
And here we go. All right.
All right. All right.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
My mom would be really mad. She never let me have Red Bull growing up.
Really?
So she was like, no. But now that she knows it's NSF certified, we might be able to roll with it. Yeah. So.
What are your thoughts on coconut?
I'm going to be honest. Coconut's never been my favorite, but that's pretty good. The berry helps. I think coconut berry, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of 10, what would you say?
Ooh, go 7.
I'm right with you. I think 7 is the right.
7, 8, yeah, around there. Yeah. Right. And then another question for you.
Okay.
Does each clubhouse provide Red Bull to you?
Yes, they do. There's been a couple clubhouses where I can't find the Red Bull and I kind of freak out a little bit, but I always find a way. There's always a secret fridge or something that I can find it at.
And then kind of going off that question, I think you kind of answered it, but so there hasn't been a time when you're in the majors or the minors where you haven't had Red Bull?
I think once I got to the big leagues, it was more of a Red Bull. I used to go in the minor leagues. This started 2017 or 18. I would go the night before I was pitching, and I'd get the biggest one. The 24 ounce or 20?
20 ounce, I think.
The 20 ounce, and I would get that. I would get that one and then a small one, and I would drink the big one as soon as I got to the field and the smaller one a little bit later. But I used to do the big one. That was my minor league one, but in the big leagues, it's in the locker room. They actually just sent me a fridge, actually. So I got a Red Bull fridge now with stock. So there's only one person, I think, that likes Red Bulls more than me. It's Brandon Belt.
I heard you talking about his pregame shake drinking during the seventh inning last.
Yes. You know, it's funny. We will have a flight. So we'll play. Sometimes you end up playing like a night game or something, and we got a long flight, like 6-hour flight. So it's midnight, and you get on the plane, and there's Brandon Belt drinking a Red Bull, and I'm just like, dude, how are you doing that? Like, I drink a lot of Red Bull, but I can't do that, or else I'd be wide awake. So I think he has a problem. But no, I'm just kidding. He's one person I think likes Red Bull more than me. It's Brandon Belt.
All right, without any further ado, I think we go on to the second one, Dragon Fruit. Here you go, Logan. Oh, there we go. All right.
Cheers.
Here we go.
Cheers. Yeah. Cheers. Cheers.
Initial thoughts?
I like that one. I'm gonna go eight.
Eight? All right, what are you thinking, Caitlin?
I personally like dragon fruit, so I'm going with like a 9. That reminds me of like the vitamin water dragon fruit.
Yes, oh yeah.
I'm not as big of a fan. I'm gonna give it a six. But our next question for you is, how are you kind of preparing for the 2023 season? And you've just been named the opening day starter. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I'm super excited. You know, I think, like 40 to 50 family members and friends coming, so keeps on going. Every day I get a text saying, hey, we'll see you in Yankee Stadium. So I don't know, it might end up being probably close to 100, but I'm super excited. It's obviously an honor to be able to pitch on opening day, and then especially in a place like Yankee Stadium. I actually got to go the last year. We played like a little league tournament in Cooperstown, and I got to go the last year of the old stadium, and haven't been to the new one, so super excited about that.
Oh yeah, it's super cool, for sure. All right, we think we're going to the original now?
Oh, original.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Go ahead, yeah. All right, so this is like your go-to right here.
Yeah, I'm already gonna say 10 before I even drink it.
All right, here we go, cheers, yeah.
Cheers. Yeah, 10 out of 10, can't beat it. That's OG right there.
I think I agree. I think 10 out of 10.
One of my friends said it tastes like carbonated apple juice.
Yeah, it does. I'm gonna be honest. It's honestly, it's gotten to the point now that I really drink it for taste most of the time. The days I pitch, obviously, I'm trying to get a little jacked up, but like I just randomly, as of 5 o'clock at night, I'll just be like, Red Bull sounds pretty good, tastes pretty good, so I'll just drink that.
And then our next question is, so Logan, you had decided to drop out of the World Baseball Classic a little before it started to kind of develop yourself as a team leader in the clubhouse. Walk us through what led you to that decision, and also kind of how has it worked out so far now that we're underway in spring training and stuff like that?
You know, there were a lot of reasons that were put into it. You know, it's part of me that, I got a little FOMO when they came and worked out here, just because, it looked like those guys are having a blast. And watching them on TV, I'm still rooting like heck for them to win. And, I thought, there's a lot of new faces in our clubhouse that that maybe I didn't know yet, or I haven't gotten to meet yet. And Fan Fest, that was when I really got to meet everybody. And I was just like, I really want to be in the clubhouse, creating the winning culture that we're trying to get back to, and I just wanted to be a part of that and try to do my part as much as I can to really get us on board and start off the season really good and hopefully end up where we want to end up. And I think that was pretty important to me, and I think the organization was a little happy I wasn't playing too, so it was just a mix of a bunch of things.
All right, what are we going to next here? Blueberry.
Blueberry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Cheers.
Go. All right.
Probably not my favorite, not gonna lie.
Okay.
Still very good. I'm gonna give it a 6.7.
6.7.
Just because I think it's a little sweeter than maybe I would like, but.
Any reason for the 0.7 specifically?
I don't know, I was just making something. Yeah.
It tastes like a blueberry jelly bean, if that makes
sense. Yeah. I don't remember the last time I had a blueberry jelly bean, but I know what you're talking about.
I'd say I'd probably give that one an 8. I like that one. Right. What about you, Kaylin?
I'd say probably a 6. Blueberry's not generally my favorite.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And then is there anything else that fans should know as you head into the season or about you, the Giants, anything, just as we start to get going here?
You know, I just think like it was unfortunate we weren't able to get, you know, necessarily the big names that some fans wanted, but I don't think, you know, fans should kind of use it against the guys that are here. You know, I think we got a very good team, a lot of, you know, guys capable of having seasons like, I won't say his name, some of those guys had, but, you know, I think teams should just be super excited. We're going to have a fun team. We're going to have a team that's, we fight a lot, you know, not fight like physically fight, but just like fight and like, we're going to grind every night and, you know, get the job done. So hope people are excited for that.
All right. Last flavor here. Our last Red Bull with Logan Webb. Here we go. Which one is this?
Peach.
I've heard a lot of hype about peach.
A lot of people like peach. My girlfriend likes peach.
My girlfriend likes peach too. I don't know. I've heard a lot of hype.
Let's try it out.
That's solid.
I like the peach. Yeah. I'm gonna give that a 9. I'm not gonna lie, I think that one, that's my favorite flavored one.
I'm right with you, I think 9 is perfect. What do you think?
I'm gonna give it a 10. Peach is my favorite flavor.
Wow.
So thank you for joining us. Our final question is, we know that Red Bull gives you wings.
Yes.
But will it give you rings this season?
Yes.
All right,
I hope so.
Thank you very much.
thank you guys. Yeah, thank you guys, thank you.
All right.
That's all for this week. The Sweet Spot is produced by Cronkite News Phoenix Sports Bureau. Thank you to the Phoenix Suns for providing additional audio. I'm your host, Spencer Chiok. Make sure you find and subscribe to The Sweet Spot anywhere you listen to podcasts.